Glad that you're here with us this morning because we are here to celebrate a risen Savior. Amen. That all of our sin has been done away with. The debt has been paid. Jesus is alive, and we are transformed when we give Him control of our lives. He washes the slate clean and allows us to live anew and afresh in Him. That's a good, good day for me, right? Amen. Back in 1990, you remember the Family Circle comic strip with the little Billy and his family? Back in 1990, on Good Friday, there was a comic strip where little Billy and his brother were going through a store, and they were looking at the Easter eggs and all the Easter candy that was there on the shelf, and they were in great anticipation. And Billy says to his brother, "You know, this may be Good Friday, but Sunday is going to be even gooder." He's right, isn't he? He's right. He's exactly right. But here's the thing. Sometimes it sure doesn't seem like that, does it? That Sunday is gooder. Sometimes we get stuck in Good Friday, don't we? We typically live in a Good Friday kind of world because life is hard. Life is unfair. Life can be downright cruel at times. Bad things happen to good people. Tragedies are a part of our daily lives, aren't they? Heartache and heartbreak are on the news consistently and constantly. Think about it. What happened in Belgium this week? It just kind of stole the news and it stole our breath. I don't know if you watched it, but it just, once again, we're dealing with death and terrorism and disaster and destruction. It's everywhere. And if it hasn't touched your life in some way or some shape or in some form, give it time. Tragedy will find your house. That's just a sad reality of life, which is why Easter is so important. You remember the story that Andy read for us out of Matthew, the ladies that went to the tomb on Easter morning? It's amazing that these are the same two ladies that on Good Friday followed Jesus to Golgotha. They watched as soldiers nailed Him to a cross. They watched as the last dregs of life ebbed from His body. They witnessed His body collapse in death. And then they shuddered as the soldiers pierced His side and then removed His lifeless body from the cross. Those ladies on Friday had gone home defeated, shocked, grief-stricken, broken, and afraid. Lord only knows what their Saturday must have been like. Probably much of the same. But then early on Sunday, they went to perform the duty of making sure that Jesus' body was properly prepared for burial. And so they got up and they made their way to the garden tomb, still numb from Good Friday's heartbreak. I can only imagine what it would have been like for them as they rounded the corner with questions of how in the world are we going to navigate the stone? What state of decomposition is Jesus' body going to be in? All of those things that roll through our minds were probably rolling through their minds. And I can only imagine their amazement as they turned the corner to see the stone already rolled away and an angel seated upon it. And He started to speak to them. What He said changed their lives forever. It was a game changer. No longer would they live in depressed, a hopeless Good Friday world. But soon they would be Easter people celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. So what made the difference? To me, it looks like four statements. Four statements that turned Friday's tragedy into Sunday's triumph. Four statements that changed everything for them. And by the same token, it's changed everything for us. The first statement I'd like to explore a little bit this morning is out of Matthew 28, verse 5, when the angel proclaimed to them that they need not be afraid. Psychologists tell us today that the most immobilizing emotion that people have is fear. We could agree with that, couldn't we? And to be honest, one of our greatest fears? It's death. It's so final. It's so cold. It's so ugly. Many people become imprisoned to their fears, but more so to the fear of death. But the angel that morning confronted it head on, didn't he? When he said to the woman, "Do not be afraid." It's a good reminder to us in a Easter context to not be afraid. Think about this. Throughout Scripture, there is constantly this echoing of "do not be afraid." When Jesus was born, the night that he was born, you remember what the angels proclaimed to the shepherds on the hillside? "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you great tidings of a great joy that will be for all people." Their message to the shepherds was, "God's here, don't be afraid." And then you remember with Jesus, he went on to the mountain to pray, and he sent the disciples ahead of him, and as they were in the boat and they were going across the Sea of Galilee, a storm came up, and they were sorely frightened, and they were struggling, and Jesus saw that, and he came down off the mountain, and he began to walk on the water, and the Bible says he intended to pass them by, but they saw him, and they were frightened. They were out of their minds with fear. And Jesus, seeing their fear, spoke to them and said, "Do not be afraid." And then he got into the boat to calm them with his presence. I love it because Jesus always transforms fear into faith. That's the message of Easter. Do not be afraid, because the Master is alive and he is with you. And I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what your Good Friday situation is today, but I do know this. He says to us, "Do not be afraid. I will not leave you. I won't forsake you. I am with you even to the end of the age." And you can have peace. Ask yourself this morning, am I more fearful or am I filled with faith? Because Easter people don't live in fear. We live in faith. Because the angel told us not to be afraid. And then when the ladies encountered Jesus just a little ways down the road, what was one of the first things he said to them? "Do not be afraid." Paul in his epistles reminds us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Do not be afraid. That's a game changer. If you're frightened today, then hear what the angel says. Hear what the Lord says. Fear not. The second statement that I believe has changed everything is this. He is not here. He is risen. The woman who came to the tomb that day didn't know what to expect. They knew that Jesus had prophesied that he would be resurrected, but they really fully didn't understand what that meant. They also knew that the authorities kind of figured that Jesus' followers would come and steal the body and hide it so that they could claim a miracle. And so a security force was put in place to guard the tomb's entrance. The question for the ladies was, where would Jesus be? What would be going on with Jesus and his body? The answer came immediately. Don't be afraid. He's not here. I wonder if they began to really begin to fear, okay, the authorities have stolen the body of Christ, or something has gone horribly wrong. But to dispel any fears or doubts or speculations, the angel, immediately after saying he's not here, clarifies it all by saying he is risen. You see, the grave for Jesus wasn't a tomb, was it? It was really just a resting place. It was kind of like a waiting room to see the finished work of God completed. It was a battlefield where the enemy was soundly defeated and the general didn't need to stay on the battlefield any longer. It was a workshop where our salvation was forged. It was a place where Jesus' promises were fulfilled. The ladies, when they went to the tomb, were lost in a Good Friday sense of grief. But what they discovered was Easter joy. He is not here. He has risen. He is risen indeed. And because he lives, we can face today's tragedies and tomorrow's uncertainties because death has been swallowed up in victory. The angel was confident in giving the women the good news. They need not fear because the Christ had arisen from the dead. And then there's this third difference-making statement that we find in verse 6. Come and see. Come and see. The angel wanted them to see for themselves. They needed to share in that experience that Christ was risen, and they needed to have that experience firsthand. As I read that statement, come and see, this week, it reminded me of potty training with my kids. Can you relate to that? Come and see. I mean, anybody that's ever done potty training with kids, whether it's kids or grandkids, they want you to see what they've done. It's not good enough for you to take their word that they've done a good job and they rung the potty. They want you to come here and let me show you what I made and where I put it. My kids, they would be really excited. Come on, come on, come on, come on. And they would just beckon and beckon and beckon, and they would want me to stand with them as they proudly proclaimed by the side of the potty and said, look, look. They wanted me to share their joy. They wanted me to share their experience. They wanted me to be hands-on in the experience, if you know what I'm talking about. Because after they do their part, then they expect you to do your part, and that's help clean them up, right? The angel on Easter was basically saying, come to the ladies and experience this. Don't just take my word on it. Don't just hear me say, do not be afraid and that he is risen. I want you to come to the tomb and look in there and experience it for yourself. Because an Easter faith is not a hand-me-down, second-hand event. It is a personal, first-hand experience that God wants you to revel in. He doesn't want you walking away saying, the tomb is empty, but I don't know. No, he wants you to come into that place where you recognize that he is alive, and when people ask you how you know he lives, you can respond with, because he lives within my heart. That I have had that personal encounter with a risen Christ, and everything is different. I no longer fear. I no longer wonder what happened to his body. I know that he is risen because he has visited me, and my life is different. Do you know that power this morning? Have you had that experience with Jesus in his resurrected form? Has Jesus become real in your life? Because if he hasn't yet, what better day for you to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus and to embrace him and allow him to embrace you than this Easter Sunday morning? The angel said, I want you to come see this for yourself. You remember Thomas? Thomas said, I'm not going to believe unless I see, unless I touch. And Jesus met him right where he was. And when he came into that room with the disciples, he made sure that Thomas was able to see and touch because he wanted Thomas to have a firsthand experience with his resurrection. And then he says to everyone, you have seen because you have believed because you have seen, but blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. Blessed are you who have that firsthand experience with Easter and live it and believe it and you breathe it day in and day out, and it gives meaning in a Good Friday world. Jesus wants us to have that experience. And then once we have that experience, here's the fourth statement of truth that just blows my mind. Go and tell. He wants us to be part of the delivery system. When something important happens, we're just wired to want to share it, aren't we? Well, good news? Come on, seriously. We just are about to burst if we know something before anybody else does, and we've just got to spread the word. Anybody read this week online about the birth where the grandmother was texting family members and getting the word out about her grandchild, and one of the family members' numbers had changed and she didn't know it, and so she was including in this group text a complete stranger. And she was going through and she was talking about the details and what was coming, and this person's like, I'm a stranger, I somehow got in this. And she just kept on. The baby was born, and she was sending pictures and baby details, and she had invited everybody to come to the hospital to share in this blessed event. And the stranger said, I don't know who you are, but I'll be there. And this guy and his brother came, and they brought diapers, and they brought gifts that were very appropriate, all because one lady's joy could not be suppressed. Even when she found out, oh, this is a mistake, she just kept texting. It's amazing. I love those kind of stories on Facebook, don't you? I mean, Facebook actually does have some redemptive value in moments like that to pass along good news. But here's the thing. You can relate to that, can't you? Those of you who have been close to families or been in a family where there's been a birth or there's some sort of excitement or an engagement, you got to tell somebody. It doesn't matter who will listen. Man, when I had my kids and it was a miracle because we weren't expected to have children, and here God blessed us with Landon and then later with Maddie, if you were in an elevator with me, it meant you wanted to hear my story. If you happened to be waiting in the grocery line with me, you needed to see my pictures, all right? It was pride. It was joy. It was good news. And good news is meant to be shared. You see, when something exciting happens, there's just something wired within us to express it to others. I can only imagine what it must have been like for those women that Easter morning, stumbling over themselves to run and tell the disciples. Yes, there was fear, but did you catch the Bible? Great joy. They had to go tell somebody. You see, Easter isn't just a holiday we observe and commemorate. It's a message. It's a joy that must be shared. Can I ask you something? Who is a Christian today because you shared your story of Jesus with them? Who is attending church because you dared to talk about what Christ has done in your life? How have you passed the joy on and the hope on that Easter brings with others? Remember, on Good Friday, everything seemed destroyed and hopeless. But Easter Sunday morning, everything had been fully restored and filled with hope. We got to tell somebody. Those of you that are part of our community, you'll remember this story. Friday, December 19th, 2014 was an ordinary day. It was a week before Christmas, and everyone was preparing and celebrating like they do around the holidays. Late in that evening, we received a frantic call. A child from Woodlawn's Child Development Center, Wesley Burnham, had been struck by a car and killed. All of a sudden, for the Burnhams and for the Panama City Beach community, the holidays didn't seem as cheerful. The day was anything but ordinary. For the Burnham family, their celebrations were interrupted by tragedy and the shock and the fear and the despair that goes along with it. Grief and pain cast long shadows, creating a world of dark hopelessness for them. They were cast headlong into a Good Friday world. If you've ever experienced a sudden death or tragedy, you know the feeling, you know the emotion, you know the reality they were facing. And if you haven't faced that kind of tragedy, there aren't words to describe it to you. It's one that truly you have to experience, but you never want to. It's what the disciples and the ladies experienced on Good Friday. But like them, the Burnham family have discovered the power of Easter. I've watched them through Facebook, and as they've attended our church, and as I've heard their story and as they've shared, I've watched as Jeff and Jill and their two amazing sons have grieved and have grown. I've watched them as they've struggled, but at times they kind of get their wings back and they soar for a little while. You know why they're able to do that? And I love the fact that they share their experience with us. And it's not all highs, but they share some of the deepest lows with us. But all in all, they're Easter people and they're filled with Easter hope. You know why I think they are such a special family? The presence of Jesus has brought them out of paralyzing fear and into courage and peace. We've witnessed as the presence of the risen Christ has come, leading them away from death's loud word into life and love's eternal promise. The presence of Christ has welcomed them into a firsthand experience with his comfort and his peace and his presence, promising that there are better days ahead. And one of the things that I love about the Burnhams is the presence of our resurrected Christ has given them a message of hope to share with others. Wesley is not a victim of tragic circumstances. He's a victor over death. He resides in the Heavenly Father's house, and there's coming a day when that family will be reunited and we will be reunited with others that we have loved and lost through the years. And we can share in that victory if we've accepted Christ into our lives and allowed the Easter message to become our reality. In fact, actually, Wesley lives on in so many wonderful ways, especially with what the family's doing through his foundation. This Easter morning, maybe you feel like the sea. It's churned up. It's troubled. It's Good Friday world. Maybe your heart is pouring the rain. Maybe your tears and your brokenness and the cloudiness of your life reflects a Good Friday reality. But can I tell you something? We can be Easter people in the midst of all of this junk. We can be those who live above the fray. Doesn't mean that we're immune to trouble. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have heartaches and heartbreaks. It means that Jesus has told us, take heart. In this world you will have trouble, but I have overcome the world. That's the message of Easter. So today, do you need courage? Do you need an infusion of hope? Do you need God's settling peace upon your life? Do you need a new purpose, something to share? Then those four statements from the angel are your statements today. And they can change your tragedy into triumph. And they can change everything if you will but hear them, receive them, and then live into them. Do not fear. He is risen. Come experience it for yourselves. Then by faith, go out and live and share that message so that others may hear it for themselves. I don't know where you've come from, but I know where you've come to today. And it's at the feet of a risen, victorious Savior who is able to impact you right where you are in Good Friday so that you can be Easter people in the midst of a Good Friday world. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, today we just come to you in our brokenness, in our grief, in our despair, in our struggles. Lord, it truly feels like Good Friday. But I thank you that Billy had it right. Good Friday's good. But Sunday is even gooder. Lord, may we live into that reality. Teach us not to be afraid. Help us to realize your Son is no longer in the tomb, but that we serve a risen Savior who is in the world today. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow, regardless of what it has or holds for us. We pray this morning in your strong but gentle name, Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.